from NPR News. This is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Kwame Kilpatrick says he's ready to make things better in Detroit. Voters reelected Kilpatrick Tuesday in one of the tightest races in the country. It's been a rough year for the 35-year-old incumbent. His campaign was dogged by articles questioning his management of the city and scandal in his administration. He was taken to task by a hard-hitting opponent who led in the polls going into Election Day. In spite of all of that, Kilpatrick came out victorious. But now comes the really difficult part, turning the tide in a big city that's said to be the nation's poorest. Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick joins us now from Detroit. Mr. Mayor, good to have you, and I know it's good to have that title still.
It's excellent to have a title. You know, so much. Our administration has been through so much crap, so much nonsense. But the people of this city saw through it. We were doing things that we weren't doing before, and they gave me the title again, and I'm going to serve them with all that I have.
I was in Detroit this week. One of the things that I found most interesting is that particularly going into the 2 days before Election Day, you were willing, and this is atypical of many politicians today, to admit some mistakes and spell them out.
Well, it wasn't just 2 days into the election. We've been talking about that since, 2004. Most of the crap that they've been throwing at me were things that they threw at me in 2002 and 2003 that they wouldn't let go. So 2004, 2005 were great years for us. And at the same time that they're not reporting on all of that, they're not reporting on the dollars we got out of Homeland Security, they're not reporting on the revolutionary technology that we bought for our police and fire, the 7,400 homes that are being built, and more commercial development and residential development in this town ever. So it was never about my management. It was never about the job of being mayor. It was always about me. But the people here, it stood up. They stood up in a major way.
One of the things that you face, though, Mr. Mayor, is the idea that Detroit, now being the 11th largest city in the nation, has been deemed the nation's poorest. Mm-hmm. The automobile industry is still king in Detroit, and it's still on shaky ground. What do you do to assure people that you're going to be able to bring money and bring the Detroit that I grew up in back?
Well, the Detroit that even you grew up in, Ed, was declining. I mean, this city has been declining for 50 years. We lost over 150,000 jobs between 1960 and 1970. The manufacturing industry, which we have an inexplicably intertwined relationship with, is moving overseas. The global competition has almost paralyzed this town. And that's why we reached out last year to Harvard University, Dr. Michael Porter and his organization, the ICIC, which is the Initiative for a Competitive Inner City. They've been here for about 12 months studying the demographics of our town, studying population shifts and trends, educational achievement levels, and they've come up with 10 emerging industries that Detroit should go after. Out of those 10, we decided to go after four, and those four are wireless communication, fuel cell technology, entertainment industry to build more production houses and have it more welcoming for independent filmmakers, record producers, and then lastly, health technology and healthcare. In fuel cell technology, we just completed our $56 million Next Energy project on the campus of Wayne State University, and it's an incubator for the hydrogen economy businesses, fuel cell technology, all the different companies that are doing that now for the next generation of the manufacturing industry. And we'll be here for the next 18 months doing curriculum changes in our high school, focusing on the community college development. And so we can start moving brothers and sisters in Detroit from Central High School or Osborne or Finney right to a job. We have 1,600 vacant nursing positions right now, Ed, at the DMC, which is Detroit Medical Center, Henry Ford, St. John's. And what we're doing now is how do we train the kids coming out of high school in nursing so they can go get a $48,000 job with benefits. And that's what we're focused on now. And I think that plan would produce great fruit. We have to change our heavy reliance on the manufacturing industry. And jobs is our platform for the next 4 years.
Voters forgave you for a number of things that made headlines. We don't know if all of it was true. You've defended most of it. But the idea that so many people heard about the leasing of a luxury vehicle and the use of tax-supported credit card for personal use, personal business, et cetera, what do you think was the biggest mistake you made in the 4 years?
Biggest mistake that I made was not setting up a proper communications organization. So you allowed those type of stories to fester. none of those stories are worth their weight in salt. I mean, in feathers. I mean, you talk, the credit card issue was just so ridiculous. It was a shame. I spent less than the two prior mayors before me, everything that was documented. It was just such a horrible thing. But it was more of our papers trying to portray me as a hip-hop party guy instead of someone that was getting things done. We got more done in 3 years than the previous administration got done in eight. And so it was just, they were just neglecting to report the information. And the SUV, you're talking about a $24,000 lease. And on the same day that came out and the police department leased this vehicle, we got $13 million for Homeland Security, totally outfitted our fire department, new hazmat equipment, got $21 million more to buy them new rigs, new trucks, state-of-the-art equipment. All the equipment in the fire department was over 22 years old when I came into office. Not one single report on any of that. We had to even line up the trucks in downtown Detroit so people could see them because they would not report on all the different advances we were making. So I think the biggest mistake that I made, and it's not all the media's fault, it's a lot of my fault, was the communications organization that we put together. I had no idea, and this is a fatal flaw on my part, how big this chair was as mayor of the city of Detroit. Mm-hmm. When you make a mistake, it's global. It could be global news. And so my problem is I didn't have the professionalism in my communications organization, the consistency there, the continuity there, because we had five press secretaries in 4 years. And so I want to make sure this next term, this whole transition period we're going through now, is really about tightening up that organization. So what Detroit puts out to the world is positive information.
You and I talked early on about how big that chair was going to be for you. One of the things that you mentioned is that they portrayed you as a hip-hop party guy, yet, truth be told, that was part of what ushered you in, not the party guy aspect of it, but the hip-hop, the new generation man that ushered you in the first go-round and also brought a lot of national attention your way. What have you had to change, and how much did that image hurt and help you?
I think as far as being from the hip hop generation, I'll never run away from that. I mean, I grew up listening to Run DMC. I grew up going to Fresh Fest with the Fat Boys and LL Cool J and Houdini. So I'm not running away from that. What I am saying is that there's some positive dynamism inside of that generation and that culture, and it's not all just Lil Jon and everybody partying. You know, it's Kanye West and Common and all those folks on the record side, but you also have a cultural, poetic vitality in that as well. And I think it's been mostly helpful. The reason that I won on Tuesday is because that generation of people came to the polls in the city of Detroit in a way that they had never done before. And that's why I'm still here. And so there is an awareness growing in the community that I think is good. I think that the papers and traditional society see hip-hop as mostly negative, particularly since most of the hip-hop is being purchased by white people. And so when you have white teenagers listening to Lil Jon and Young Jeezy and going home with their hats hanging low and their pants baggy, you know, that frustrates America. And so I get caught up sometimes in that trick bag, and people started to portray me as that instead of a lawyer, former leader of the state house. The first only African-American to hold that in 175 years. I was the youngest person and the first African-American to ever hold that position. So, I mean, there are some things that people attach to me. I had an earring in my ear, too, Ed, and I did take my earring out because people could not hear the message in the city of Detroit. And I vowed to the citizens of this city that I wouldn't put it back in as long as I was mayor because people could not hear me or didn't even look at the credentials, didn't even look at the fact that I passed policy, that I'd done so much on the state level and the city since I've been mayor. And so we had to move forward. We had to evolve. There's some things that I learned that I have to represent all the people, but I can't change and I won't change and I shouldn't change who I am.
Detroit's in the red by about $300 million, it's reported, and losing population steadily. Give me the one thing you feel that you have to do to stem that tide.
Well, first, that $300 million figure is not the figure. It's about $139 million. Our Auditor General says it's $150 million. The original gap that we had, we don't have a deficit yet, Ed, and that's when we be careful to let people know. We close our books on June 30 of next year. The gap between what we have to balance by June 30 next year is the $139 million. If you take the high end of what our auditor says, it's $150 million. And so what we'll do, most of that is structural costs. It's our pension costs. It's our health care costs. I mean, we're no different than GM, Ford, Daimler, Chrysler, Delphi, Northwest Airlines. We have exploding pension and health costs. Our health costs for our workforce alone has gone up $120 million in 3 years. Our pension costs have gone up $177 million in 3 years. And so we're at the table now. We suspended negotiations this week. We go back to the table next Tuesday with our organized labor unions. I have 48 bargaining units in the city of Detroit, 48. All of those contracts were expired when I walked in. So the first day I walked in office, I had to negotiate with 48 different unions. We negotiated great contracts. And now we have to go back and negotiate with them for the second contract, and we have to get some health concessions. We have to get pension concessions. And it's been a tough process, but $80 million of that $139 million is what we're trying to get from unions alone. The rest of that is management issues. We're cutting a couple services here, nothing real detrimental to the city. We're cutting some things on the city level because we're fixing street, cutting grass, shoveling snow, building parks, doing city service things better now than we've done in a lot of years. And so we want to continue that service, that outreach, but at the same time, we have to continue to manage better and cut and trim around the edges.
30 seconds real quick for me, Mr. Mayor. The concern has been in the debate back and forth of, as to whether or not Detroit is going to go in receivership. You can assure the people of the Motor City that will not happen.
That would not happen. That was something that my opponent was using for a fear tactic. I think that it's the same as the president said. You know, there are weapons of mass destruction. I mean, I think it's the same kind of fear thing that leads to people saying, okay, we got to find this receivership on a city level. It's just not imminent. We have a 10% problem. Our budget is $1.4 billion. We have a $139 million gap. No one goes out of business because of a 10% debt. I mean, we'll have to cut. We'll have to make some tough decisions. But we're not in receivership. We're not even close.
Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, term number two begins, and we wish you the best, my friend.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ed. And come on in for the Super Bowl.
All right, you got a deal.